But tonight, we're just going to look at one verse. So that's all we have is one verse for tonight. And it is verse number 7. So Hebrews 11 and verse number 7 tells us, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And so you can kind of see just on the surface there, that verse is bracketed on both ends with the words "by faith." By faith, Noah, and then at the very end of the verse, again, by faith. And that's our subject in this chapter, is how these by faith, we see that they pleased God. We saw before in verse 6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so because of their faith, they were pleasing unto God. That's how we please God today, when we walk in faith. We've already discussed that, we've already discussed the relationship between faith and works in previous lessons, so I won't go into that again. But really, when you think about this chapter, it's kind of like, you know, people call verse 1 a definition of faith, but then the whole chapter is really kind of a demonstration of faith. Because faith is active. Faith is not just a inactive thing. It operates and it creates work in us and this kind of thing. And so every time we look at this, we'll see that by faith these people did things. And particularly Noah is known as, you know, the one who, if Abel's testimony of faith taught us how to worship by faith, and Enoch, that we looked at last week, taught us how to walk by faith, then Noah teaches us how to work by faith. We see that he worked, of course, on an ark, right? He built an ark to the saving of his house, and it took him a long time to do that. But we'll get into that in just a moment. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin our study tonight. Our Father, we want to ask for your blessing upon the study of your word and the thoughts that we want to dwell on here for a little while, that you would help our thoughts to be, Lord, just understanding what you are teaching and to take to heart these things, and Lord, to live out our faith, to walk by faith. Lord, just increase our faith and help us to share the faith with others, and Lord, we just pray you would have your will and your way in our hearts tonight. Do as you would see fit, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. So, we understand that it is important that we live by faith, right? We're saved by faith. I think it's in Colossians somewhere where he says that as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. And you received him by faith. And we're to live a life of faith. We're to walk by faith. And I hope that this chapter will kind of help us to really kind of understand, what does that look like? What does it mean? How do we walk by faith? It's certainly, we don't walk by faith when, like the world walks by their senses, right? The world walks by sight. In other words, they go by things that they see, things that are, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. They're not always something you can touch, you know, with your physical hands. It's the evidence of things not seen. And so the difference, you understand the difference, right, between walking by sight and walking by faith. Because you believe in things that you can't touch and feel or see with your physical eyes. Obviously, we believe like Abraham. He believed he was going, for example, like Abraham, you know, he left his home. If you look at verse number 8, it tells you he was called to go out into a place which he would after receive for an inheritance. He had never seen the land of Canaan. God just told him to go, and I'll show you where to go, and I'll give you this land. But you know, most people want to see it before they, you know, you don't buy a house before you see it, right? You know, you're not going to move to somewhere you've never seen. At least if you're going to move somewhere, you want to, nowadays, at least look online, you know, and find some pictures or learn something about it. But Abraham went simply by faith that God would lead him to a better land, a good land. If it was wherever God would lead, he wanted to go, right? So that's what it, you know, when I say we don't walk by sight, there's lots of examples of that. Here we read about Noah, that he, being warned of God, verse 7 again, he was moved with fear. He was warned of God of things not yet seen, right? Not seen as yet. So that's part of what it means to walk by faith, is that we go on things even though we can't see it right now, but we believe, we trust. We know where we're going because God's told us we're going to go to heaven. I've never seen heaven. I have God's word, and I know it's true, and I'm fully confident it's even better than this beautiful place we live in now. So we walk by faith. The world also goes by not only sight, but they go by feeling. You know, whatever they feel. And that's not faith either. And when I'm saying that because sometimes not only the world, but sometimes Christians, we like to walk by sight. We want to see, we want to feel. We are led by our feelings. But that's not walking by faith either. Feelings can be, you know, feelings are up and down. Feelings are not really trustworthy to lead us. Now, sometimes, you know, you might have a feeling that is accurate, but not always do we go by our feelings. That's not faith. I don't think Noah felt like building an ark. You know, when he said, "You got to build this ark," and we're going to learn how big it was. It was very, very large. And it took him 120 years. He didn't have all the equipment. He didn't have, very much help. But God gave him the plans and the skill. And it's amazing what people can do. But he had to do that. I don't think he felt like every day building an ark. And listening to all the ridicule from the people who said, what are you building? I'm building a boat. Well, there's no water. What are you doing? You know, all this stuff. I don't think he felt like it, but you don't live by your feelings. You live by faith. When I don't think Abraham felt like offering his son Isaac on an altar. That's not something that Abraham would have felt like doing. But God had told him, and he did it by faith. And I think you know that story. So it's not, we don't live by our feelings, we don't live by our sight, we don't live by human reasoning. What does it say in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5? He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy, what? Thine own understanding, right? Sometimes our understanding is not all that reliable, I guess. You know, our understanding doesn't know everything. And so what I understand, I don't understand everything. I have to believe God. So it says, that verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not under your own understanding. So you have a choice. You can either trust the Lord or you can go with what you think. But when we live by faith, we trust what God says. Living by faith is not living by our carnal passions or our appetites, you know, of the flesh. A lot of people do that. You know, they live by whatever feels good. You know, whatever makes me happy. That's what I want to do. But that's not how the Christian is to live. We're to follow what God teaches us by faith, believing that what he said is true. Believing his ways are right. And so this is the lesson we're learning, is that these people that we see in this chapter, they didn't live by sight or by human reasoning or by feeling or by their own whims. their own appetites, their own, you know, kind of desires. They lived by faith. And Noah is a great example of this. So I got, I think, five things written down. I'll try to give them to you quickly tonight. First of all, we see here in this passage, the first phrase, it says, by faith Noah being warned of God. We can just stop there for a minute. I put down, God's word was the basis of Noah's faith. That's always important. It's, you know, it's something I think we kind of know that, and we've said this many times, but it's important that we understand, you see, he had nothing to go on except the word of God. There was nothing about, you know, when God told him there was going to be a flood, that's why he was to build this ark. He was warned about that by God, but there was nothing as far as, like, you know, the weather report, what he had known from all the past history of his life. There was nothing else that indicated to Noah that water was going to come and cover the earth. It was something he had never seen of, never heard of. It had never happened. Lots of people believe, scholars believe, that even in the days of Noah, it hadn't rained before. I don't know if you have ever studied that, but it talks about in, you know, when God created the heaven and the earth, something happened after the flood, right? We know that the heavens, you know, the Bible talks about that the earth was surrounded by water, like a canopy of water around in the atmosphere, which seemed to filter out all the UV rays and all that stuff, and people lived long, much, much longer lives. You know, the climate was quite different. And after the flood, those things didn't, you know, it was different again. So people started living shorter and all of these things. So, you know, if you study about those things, like I say, lots of people believe that it had never rained. At any rate, it had certainly never, the earth had never flooded. So Noah had nothing to go on except the word of God. And it's important that we understand this. You know, I've run across Christians in my Christian life that their faith has been kind of devastated because they get disillusioned, because sometimes there's preachers out there, there's elements of Christianity out there that says basically there's something called word of faith movement, and their teaching is basically, you know, you speak it and believe it and it's going to happen, kind of a thing. You know, in other words, if you just tell God what you want him to do, he's obligated to do it. And you just believe it hard enough and he'll do it. That's not true. God doesn't put faith in our word. We have to put faith in God's word. You know, it's kind of like sometimes on a rare occasion, but on a couple of occasions, my wife might say to me, she'll suggest that I do something. Now, usually when she suggests that I do something, it's usually a good suggestion. I'm wise to follow. But there's times when I have other ideas, right? Because I'm a man, right? Okay. And I may not follow that suggestion. And then she'll come back to me later and say, I thought you were going to do this. And I'll say, why did you assume I was going to do this? I never said I was going to do that. You just said maybe I should do that, right? But do you understand what I'm saying? I think I'm getting myself in trouble. I'm saying that we can suggest to God what he should do, but he's not obligated to do it. Even when we pray. Now, we pray in faith. But everything we ask God, he may say no. But you see, when we have God's promise, that's what we put our trust in. I can't trust in, God's going to do this if I don't know that, unless he said it. If he said it, then I can trust it. Do you see what I'm saying? This is why when I, you know, the best example I can give you is I can go to a person and say to them, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you understand that you're a sinner, that you're lost and on your way to hell, but But Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood, rose again from the dead. Because he loves you, he took the penalty of your sin. If you, with a repentant heart, would turn to Jesus and put faith in him and believe upon him as your Savior, you will go to heaven when you die. That's a pretty big promise. How can I tell you you're going to go to heaven? Well, because God said so. That's the only reason I can tell you that with confidence. You know, if I came and told you you're going to go to California or something, well, you'd say, what do you know? I'm not going anywhere. But God said this is his promise. And we can believe it. I have full confidence. I have every confidence in the world that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Because why? Because I have this promise, and that's where my faith is. It's faith in the Scripture. It's faith on the Bible. Do you see what I'm saying? So Noah believed the promise of God. The Word of God was the basis of his faith. And it says, being warned of things not yet seen. And he didn't see it. He didn't have to. He just knew that it was true. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the way, that's your memory verse. For those of you who weren't up here this morning, Romans 10:17 is your verse for this week. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, excuse me. Let's look at verse 7 again. What's the next phrase? So it says that he, being warned of things not yet seen, moved with fear. Moved with fear. This is, we said, the Word of God was his basis for faith. Worship was the expression of Noah's faith. That word moved with fear, it doesn't mean that it wasn't like, it's not like God planted this idea in his head and he was paranoid that, you know, this flood was coming. No, God told him, and he warned him, and he knew that what God said was true. But he feared, in other words, he reverenced, he respected what God said. That's what the word fear there has the idea of reverencing, of respect. He respected God. He knew that God wasn't playing games with him. He knew that God was, he knew these things. It was God that was going to bring the flood. And so he moved with fear in the sense that he respected God. And I see in that a form of worship. You know, worship is not just singing. Worship is when we reverence, we believe God. That's a form of worship. In other words, you know, to be obedient, when God says, you know, when God moves in our heart and he shows us in his word, he brings us under conviction through a sermon, whatever it is, and we yield our heart to God. We yield our will to him. That's a form of worship, I believe. You know, because worship is like, the word literally has the idea of falling down, you know, before him. You know, being prostrate before him. And so, when we yield our will, when we submit our will to God, there's a form of worship in that. In Deuteronomy, you can mark this verse down and look it up later, but Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29, we see the aspects of fear, biblical fear. It says this, oh, God is speaking to Moses. He says, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Let me read that one more time. Oh, that there were such an heart in them. He was talking about the children of Israel. God says, oh, I wish there was a heart in them to fear me, that they would fear me, believe me, and keep all my commandments always, and because then it would be well with them, and it would be well with their children. You know, God wants it to be well with you. He wants your, you know, he wants to bless your life. He wants to see the blessing upon your life. And it comes by, you know, when we fear God in the sense that we reverence him and we want to obey him. So there's three aspects of fear in here that I want to point out. First, there is the realization of the awesome character of God. that God is omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, and so he's to be trusted. Then there's the obedience to the clear commands of God. And there's a realization of the consequences when we don't obey God, or if we do obey God. All of those things have, that's what it means to fear the Lord. You know, you hear people saying he's a God-fearing man. What does that mean? That means he has a respect to God, he reverences him, that he is all-knowing. He's God, he's the Lord. And then we understand that we're to obey his will, and that there's a reward for that, or there's a consequence for not doing that. That's what it means to fear the Lord. So Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he was moved with fear. And now we see, thirdly, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So we saw that the word of God was the basis of his faith. Worship was the expression of Noah's faith. And work was the action of Noah's faith. He prepared an ark. Noah didn't just, you know, say he believed God's word on the matter and stayed there worshiping, thinking God was going to give him an ark. He had to get up and do something. And, you know, faith is that way. It's, you know, we believe sometimes there's things when we have no power to do anything. We just got to wait on God. But there's other times when faith moves us to get busy. You know, God said, do these things and let's get doing them, right? If we don't do them, then we can't expect his blessing. So, you know, let me give you something that might help you. I've met some Christians, and I think you probably have too. I've met Christians that when I meet them and talk to them, you know, they talk about some deep theological things. In other words, you know, they come to me and some, they know the terminology, right? They start asking me about, you know, theological terms and these kind of doctrines, and they know the doctrinal arguments and that kind of stuff. I've met people like this throughout the years. And I think to myself, you know, this person's knowledgeable. They know quite a bit about the Bible. But then as I get to learn about, you know, I get to know them a little more. And at first, when you hear that, you think this person is a, you know, a deep, committed Christian. But then you get to around them and you recognize their life is a mess. I mean, their families are falling apart and they can't hold down a job and they just seem to be like, you know, nothing goes very good for them. And I've come to find some people that they have some knowledge, they have some understanding of stuff, but here's what it boils down to. They like to discuss things that theologians have debated over for 2,000 years. And some of the things, there's never, you know, there's never a clear answer on some of them. Or there's this school of thought and there's this school of thought and they go back and forth. They like to debate those things that are hard to understand. But they fail to do the things that are very clearly that we're supposed to do. I find that, you know, Christians, if we would just do what God says, you know, the clear commands of God, if we would just live by them, we wouldn't have time to worry about all these deep arguments and stuff. Honestly, I, you know, some people have thought I'm pretty shallow, but I really don't have time to just debate theological arguments. I'm just trying to do what I know God wants me to do. And I think that's what we should do, is by faith, just do what you know God wants you to do. And God will teach you more and more as you grow and go along. But you're not going to grow by, you know, filling your head with all kinds of knowledge, but never really actually committing to do what God clearly wants every Christian to do. And so we have to work by faith. Our faith should move us to get busy, roll up our sleeves, and start doing something for God. And so Noah began building this ark. And as I say, we don't know all the, how I assume his sons at some point started helping him. I don't think his neighbors helped him. He had a big job. I'd forget, we could go back and look it up. I read it and I had in my mind how big the ark was. Essentially, I don't remember all the cubits, how many cubits it was this way and that way. But I remember looking up in English what this is. And it was essentially like 1.5 football fields long. It was over 400 and some feet long. It was basically 4 stories tall, and I forget how wide. It was big. And it had 3 decks, for all the animals. And that was a big job. And as I say, God, I'm sure Noah didn't always feel like working on it. But he believed what God said, and he just got busy. And it wasn't easy, not just in the sense that it was hard work, but, there was all the ridicule. There was all the heckling, all the, the people laughing at him, saying, "What in the world? What is this monstrous thing you're building?" Well, it's a boat. A boat? And by the way, I've also read this, and I'm not an engineer, so you guys can look this up and figure it out if you want. But they say that those dimensions, because, Noah had no idea how to build this ship. It really was a ship, He had he wasn't a shipbuilder. There was nothing this big ever before, I'm sure. There was no boat of that magnitude before. So all he had was God's, God, again, gave him the dimensions. But what we learn is that shipbuilders today, to this day, they say that the ratio, length and width and all of that, is exactly what makes a good ship float now. You know what I'm saying? And we would say, well, duh, of course God knows how to build a ship, Maybe Noah didn't, but certainly God knows how to do that. And so because he followed God's commands, he had a seaworthy boat when it was necessary. All right, so we see his word was his basis of his faith. Witness was the expression of his faith. Work was the action of his faith. And then witness was the evidence of his faith. We see he was a witness. It tells us in the next phrase. He was moved with fear. He built an ark, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And it says, by the which he condemned the world. Isn't that an interesting phrase? What does that mean? Well, when Noah was building this, of course, he was a witness. As I said before, in just building, he was a witness in the sense that everybody was asking questions, and he told them. He told them why. If somebody asked you why you would build such a thing, you would tell them, well, because God told me. And God said there's going to be a flood. And did they believe? No. So how were they condemned? Well, they were condemned because they didn't believe the witness of Noah. And God gave them this 120-year-long witness, constantly there, this big ark getting bigger all the time, as a testimony hey, wake up, God's going to do something. Judgment is going to come. Not only was his, there's 2 ways we witness. We witness with our life. As we live by faith, they see how we live by faith. We walk with God. I walked up to the church both this morning and this evening. Now, I know this is not really all that strong of a witness. But, people have to notice, hey, there's somebody in a suit. How often do you see that in Castlegar, right? Unless you see Cameron going to work every day. But it's not, and then he has a Bible under his arm. And so what does that say to them? Well, he's going to church. And just to even know that, hey, there's a church in this town, and there's people gathering together in church. I mean, that's a witness, isn't it? Isn't it a witness to see that, there's people that have faith in God, that come and worship God? Sure. Your neighbors see you. They know where you go on Sunday. And so, as I say, that's not a very strong witness because lots of people go to church. That doesn't mean that they're Christian. But you know, then they get to know you. And then they see that what you do on Sunday affects how you live on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And you know, they get to know that, hey, this person is honest. This person is moral. This person has character. This person, you know, he lives by his faith. And that's a witness. They call, sometimes it's been called lifestyle evangelism, you know, just by let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. So we witness by our life, but we also need to witness by our lips. We need to tell them, because at some point, you know, they may, as I've read that verse, and I've said this before, one time I remember, it's funny how I remember certain things and forget so many things, but I remember we studied this one time at family camp. I can remember being at family camp and studying this, let your light shine before men and so on. And I remember thinking one time, I thought, you know, a lot of people, they see good people. You know, there's good people, relatively good people in the world. And they kind of want to glorify that person. Oh, he's such a good, nice guy. You know, Bruce is a great guy. He'd give you the shirt off his back. He's just a good guy. Well, how are they going to know to glorify, not Bruce, but to glorify God? Because Bruce is going to tell him, look, I wasn't always a very nice guy, and I'm not even all that nice right now. It's just that God has done a work in my life. Am I telling the truth, Bruce? I don't know why I picked on you. But I could pick on me. You know, you might think I'm a nice guy, and that's good, but hey, it's only by the grace of God. Because I'm in my nature, I'm not all that nice. You know? If you really knew me, but God has worked in my heart. God has changed me. And yeah, there's things that I used to be, I'm not anymore, because God has done that work. And so we give the glory to God. We point people to the Lord. And that's what Peter said this about Noah. He said he was a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached, he lived it, and then he preached it. And you better live what you preach, or your preaching won't go very far. So Noah did both. He was a witness. And then fifthly and lastly, and this one's short. So the word was his basis of faith. Worship was the expression of his faith. Work was the action of his faith. His witness was the evidence of his faith. And then we see the wages of his faith. It says in the very last part of the verse, he became heir of righteousness, which is by what? Faith. He became an heir of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness because he had received by faith the righteousness of Christ upon his life. You know, the righteousness that was imputed to him. He believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And that's the only way any of us become righteous. We're not righteous in, you know, we could be self-righteous, but your self-righteousness, God says, are as filthy rags. But he was rewarded. He was rewarded by God, forgave his sins, made him righteous. And then he built an ark to what? To the saving of his house. That was a reward of his faith. His children got to live. His wife got to live through the judgment. That's important, isn't it? Sure. And you know, if you live by faith, your faith will affect others, and especially those within your own household. And I said this morning, some of you weren't upstairs this morning, you were in the basement perhaps in a class, but we preached about the widow's mite. And I said, you know, she only gave a very small offering. But Jesus said it was bigger than all the rest. And I was thinking about Noah. A lot of people would consider Noah's ministry not very big. It wasn't very successful. He only got 8 people on the ark, 7 besides himself. But God, I believe, counted Noah faithful. Because that's, you know, that's all we're to do. Our responsibility is to be faithful. We can't manipulate the results. We can't you know, the results isn't in our power. We just have to be faithful. Was Noah faithful to do what God called him to do by faith? Yes. He built an ark. He was faithful. He preached righteousness. He was a witness. And I believe he was rewarded by God for his faith. And that's the example we see of Noah. I hope that it'll help us to remember that we want, this is the basis of our faith. Our faith is expressed to God in worship. When we follow Him, when we trust Him, when we yield unto Him. When we work for Him, we get busy doing the things God wants us to do. And we're a witness for God. And then we receive the reward of what faith can bring to our life. Let's stand and we'll pray together.